Welcome to the Elks of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are getting into running backs who are overvalued, talking about potential spots where real draft ADP from Dynasty isn't matching up with your ADP from redraft stuff. Again, I've done quarterbacks. This would be the fourth one of this series now, so you can go back, check some of those. But basically, the process is, who is valued different this year versus the general dynasty ADP, and why is that, and how can we exploit it? That's basically your long and short of it. So I don't include the rookies in this because those guys they're for a bunch of reasons naturally overvalued compared to their rookie expectation and underdog, which we're using their ADP for redraft, and there's for natural reasons, right? There's all those reasons. So I leave those guys out when we talk about the rest. So let's get into this. All right. So the number one here on the list is Javonte Williams, and there's a few places that I don't love doing these. Like, this is a classic one where we're elevating a player way up the board compared to where he finished last year. And he's getting real pricey real quick. And the market for real draft is like, hey, let's pump the brakes on this, right? That's a spot where I'm a little bit tepid, okay? Because it feels like this is where you can really miss. And instead of you're swinging for a home run, and maybe you get like a single, or you hit like a double, but you're taking your one swing and you're not getting what you want, right? I don't love doing that, right? So I would definitely pivot off of the higher price shares and startup drafts. We're not probably in the business of Javonte Williams. It's just not what we do typically. But it is worth noting that if you have him, it might be a pivot opportunity. I think I have a couple of shares out there as well still. So I might be looking to make pivots. But he's running back 3 in Dynasty and running back 12 at underdog. And this is exactly where he finds himself in 2022, is where he found himself in 2021. They brought back Melvin Gordon, shared backfield. Maybe it's a little bit more Javonte, but we'll see there. You know, they do have Russell Wilson, so that's, you know, I guess that's a positive in terms of where he's at. They bring in Russell Wilson, so it's a positive for an upgrade anyways. But Melvin Gordon's not going away, and that's the thing about this that I don't really love, is that we're all of a sudden elevating Javonte Williams from a finish last year that's had Melvin Gordon, and we just expect it to be significantly different. Javonte Williams had 203 carries, 43 receptions last year. Again, that's okay. That's good. And he did play in all the games. So again, that's 12.2 points per game. And this year, Football Guys anyways, is projecting 208 carries and 43 receptions. So we didn't move the receiving number, and we moved the rushing number up 5. Let me just repeat that for a second. Football Guys projections didn't move his receiving number, and they moved his rushing number up 5. And he finished as running back 17 last year at 12.2 points per game, and that was running back, just make sure I'm getting this right, tied for running back 26. Last year, points per game. So I'm not sure what we're doing other than doing a dynasty thing and elevating someone too soon. This feels like elevating a guy like CeeDee Lamb. Feels like doing that. Just not, I don't, listen, you got to be careful on doing that. And I just don't, I mean, I think everyone listening to this kind of knows that. But that would just be the point that I would have a concern about. Melvin Gordon, 203 carries last year. We project him for 153 this year. So a little bit of natural attrition, probably some age-wise stuff, but I think maybe a little bit of the Russell Wilson stuff tilts it back the other way. So we do project a little bit more of a of a work share for Javonte Williams relative to the position. He had 28 receptions last year. Melvin Gordon did. We project him for 24 this year. So, again, a little attrition for him, but it's not really Javonte Williams taking over, and really that drop in Melvin Gordon is probably related to a little bit more pass-heavy projection. So I think that's a really interesting one. And, I mean, five more total touches. I'm hard out on running back last year for his projection there. Javonte Williams at running back 26 in points per game. Hard out. J.K. Dobbins, he's back. And it's interesting because he's essentially hasn't changed. He missed almost the entire 2021. He missed the entire 2021 season, but remained in the same range of dynasty RDP in that sort of running back two range. He's at running back 14 over the past month. Underdog ADP is running back 20. Baltimore led the league in dropbacks per game, but they don't really incorporate their running backs in the passing concepts even this past year, right? And so you might say, like, hey, you know, there's some schematic stuff that's going on there, or like, hey, they didn't have the good running backs. Like, they just haven't done it. Like, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that they're just not going to incorporate their running backs, whether that's a Lamar thing, whether it's a Greg Roman thing, whether that's, you know, just the skill set that they wanted, the running, whatever reason, they just not really what they're doing. And again, it takes a lot to be a huge difference maker from that range. And I think if you're in the range of like a running back two, give me a story. And this is the same reason at wide receiver, like later on, give me a story about how you can really be elite. And let's focus on those guys. How are you rare, right? How do you offer something that's not common? And with Dobbins, like another guy we're going to talk about right after this, I they have a lot of the same problems. So that's just the concern there with him. Again, is overall passing volume. And again, he can rush for a lot. And we've seen this. Like, we've seen Chubb, we've seen Derrick Henry be up there at the top of the league in rushing. And if you basically have to do that if you're not going to do much receiving to be like a top six guy. And, you know, and it's just really, really hard to get all the way up there. So that's really my concern with Dobbins. I'm skeptical of the receiving aspect. And again, if I have to overpay, this would be a different thing if we're paying running back 22 costs. It'd be a totally different thing. But you're paying a couple rounds more, and I just think there's other things you can do in that range. All right, Antonio Gibson's the aforementioned player that feels very similar to J.K. Dobbins. They spent the offseason exploring the running back market. And by the way, Dobbins, like, they brought in Mike Davis. And you could say, hey, there's questions, concerns about Edwards. We don't know how Dobbins is coming back either. So just for what that's worth, I mean, they've added to the position because there's uncertainty, right? And I think that there's, you know, uncertainty for Dobbins as well as for Edwards. All right, now to Gibson. They explored the running back market the entire offseason, met with the top running backs, and selected Brian Robinson in the third round. They also went out and re-recruited J.D. McKissic after he agreed to sign with the Bills. There was no pen to paper yet, but they basically clawed him back. Yeah, so Robinson and McKissic, Robinson can squeeze a lot of what Gibson does, but he definitely can squeeze the running aspect of it. Of Gibson, and McKissic can squeeze the receiving aspect, and all of a sudden you're kind of in a little bit of a bind there. And that's the thing with Gibson. I just wonder, running back 17 RDP, running back 22 underdog ADP. Again, that's a very much the same story as Dobbins, right? He may not necessarily be capped by a running back who has a receiving centric role, but they don't have a big time receiving centric role in Baltimore. Anyone that they do in Washington, and we'll see if Carson Wentz can sustain that, because it's not really his thing. But even if they do, they've got a guy, and that just gives me a lot of pause. He's pinned in, and it's tough to see a big breakout. So that's the concern that I have with him in that sort of middle range. Etienne's interesting because he's one that I could say, hey, you could hit a home run, right? And you look at guys in that range and you say, how do you hit a home run? Well, Etienne's probably one of them. Again, a good Barkley could do that for you. I think a good Barkley, if you got good Barkley, you could hit a home run. Where my concern has been I just I don't think that we're getting close to a good Barkley, right? I don't think we're getting that really great Barkley. We'll see with Etienne. And I think with Etienne, it's a little bit of a combination of problems and why I'm a little bit tepid, but I see the upside more than I see an upside scenario of a guy like Gibson, because I could see him having that receiving role and sort of bigger volume that he was pretty good in at Clemson. Lawrence knows him, and he could sort of insert into that role in the NFL. What gives me a little bit of pause, no longer on scholarship, but that first-round pedigree, because his coaching staff is gone. Same front office, new coach in terms of Doug Peterson. We have him coming off the injury as well. So those, I think, are reasons to keep him down. That said, like, running back 16, when you compare, you just take the base rates for a second, you know nothing more, right? And this isn't why I find it a good spot to start with. They're a better hit rate than first-round guys that miss are a better hit rate than second-round guys coming in. So you're just using base rates and thinking about situations and all that stuff, just saying, we don't know anything, just start from scratch. He's probably undervalued in terms of getting on the board, and he's got some really interesting ceiling stuff. So I do think there's risk, but at a running back 16 price, I think it's probably a good investment there. So I'm generally think that this is the underdog ADP is a good indicator. I think he's maybe the exception, or despite maybe a median or an average number coming in lower than the RDP, I think his, maybe, and this would be a better way to say it, I think his has a higher chance to be truly difference-making instead of a narrower range of outcomes like a guy like Gibson. Already talked about Barkley. Swift is really the last one on the list. So he's running back 4 in RDP, running back 8 in underdog. Listen, I've pivoted Swift to tight end and some tight end premium stuff. I have some as well. I like the combination of rushing and receiving, but I'm interested to see if there's other ways to potentially go about it. I'm not running away from him, but I want to see if there's places to exploit. When you look at Swift, he has the 3-down potential and a potentially dominant role in an offense that I think could be better. I've talked about this a couple times. Swift was running back 8 in points per game in his first 10 games last year, and then he was injured. And the next game following that, missed 4 games and then returned at the end of the season and played very minimally. So really it was like a 13-game season, but really it was closer to 10. So in that first 10 games, it was 18.6 points per game. That would have put him at running back 8. So again, right up there, just short of 20 touches. He had 19 touches per game during that span, a healthy receiving workload as well. So he's one that, again, he has that combo of, hey, he's undervalued by the market, but I think could overperform his cost, right? He has that in his range of outcomes in a way that if you're looking for like a big outcome for a guy like Gibson or something like that, it's not really there to the same extent. So I do like Swift. Running back 4, probably not an investment I'm going to make all that much, but I am thinking about like season-long tournaments and that sort of thing. Like he's got the type of profile with his combo of like 19 touches and there's like 4 receptions per game in there, or even more than that. I think it's totally possible. You add that up and it's like, okay, like that has running back 1 in its range of outcomes, where I think some of these other guys just and again, he's ranked higher. So of course he has higher ranges of outcome. But when you just think of profiles, like a Swift and Etienne profile closer than Etienne does, I think, with a guy like Gibson or Dobbins. And it's just like you're getting a profile that can do both. And I think that's not that those other guys can't do both, but I have struggled to see it coming together. I could see it for Swift and I can see it both for Etienne. So two guys that despite the RDP, I'm intrigued with at their cost because I think they can overperform that RDP. Okay. Last one here is Barkley, running back 11 in dynasty RDP, 14 in underdog ADP. He has this unique profile of the fact that he hasn't really moved down despite him being hurt, despite the lack of strong play. I think there's a disconnect between some of the startup stuff and his trade costs for that's worth. He has dropped in terms of RDP, but I've had this thought for a while. I think this is why like star running backs matter, maybe, than just trying to like trade up and get core guys. But if you look at like star running backs, like top four, top five, top six guys in there, when they fall off, like even if it's bad, they don't fall that far. Whereas you start getting like running back 15, if he falls off, like you can be running back 35, or you can be running back 29. You can fall really fast. When you're up at 2, 3, 4 and you fall, like it could take a couple years to get into that late 20s into the 30s range. The same fact pattern, you come in and you're like, all right, you do the exact same thing, but you come in as an RDP of 13. Right? The floor falls out really quickly. When you're an RDP of a top five, top six guy, that market floor, like there's just a big difference, and the market just doesn't drop you that far. So I think that's a lot of what's going on with Barkley. I think it's interesting that for me, it's a little bit of longevity concern. And again, if he's been hurt, he's struggled to stay healthy, now he's on a one-year deal. I don't love that from a stability perspective, because we're playing year to year at this point. And does he become like a different version of a guy like Fournette? Could he come out and have a big season this year? Sure. But could he as equally be playing on like some basically glorified one-year deals, and you're not feeling super, super enthused about that in 12 months? Yeah, I think that's true too. So he's an interesting blend there. Again, I'm going to look at some more pivots here. Maybe I'll even do some running back trades this week, just look at some pivots. But yeah, him between like Etienne, who I think would be interesting, him up to a guy like Swift, it's an interesting pivot. You got to be careful about paying a ton for that. Like, there's a lot of risk in that. But yeah, I mean, I think some pivots around these running backs make a lot of sense if you want to think about it and potentially put some work in. So we'll work on that. Maybe I just came up with a dynasty trade topic here over the next week or so. So all right, that'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.